the show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're not watching the Bears, you're hopefully listening to us, and that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
We're here till 3 o'clock, and right now we're hopping on the subject of color. You know, as a design expert and home improvement guy, I like to play in the world of color often.
Yeah.
And its powerful impact on people. And sometimes it's so subtle that you don't realize you're being tricked, so to speak. And when I say tricked, I mean more for like the consumer. You know, when you walk into a commercial establishment and, you know, like, let's just say a Starbucks.
Okay.
You know, you walk in there. What does it make you feel, Jenna?
Cozy.
Cozy. And do you see any bright colors on there? Do you see any reds? Do you see any,
no,
like,
it's green.
Yellows?
It's green and like almost sometimes like that brown for the wood. And I don't want to say khaki, but like, you know.
Earthy.
Yeah, earthy.
There's
that's
a reason
the better
for
word.
That.
Yeah.
Because the earthy tones make you feel relaxed. You want to chill. They want to give a chill vibe out. But, you know, in today's world, with so much knowledge in psychology and the psychology of color, brands are now turning this, and have been probably for centuries, to their favor to increase spending, to increase urgency. Dr. Sally Augustine is here to talk to us about that. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, Doc, give us a little background on yourself, and then we'll jump into this topic.
Sure. I'm an applied environmental psychologist, and environmental psychologists are the scientists who think about how the design of the, you know, the physical world around us influences how people think and behave.
Hmm. Interesting. How does energy play into that? When you, because science, you know, on a quantum level, scientists, you know, there's scientific proof of quantum energy, right?
Right. You know, a lot of physicists spend all their time thinking about things like that and verifying it.
So when you mix the two of the physical, the tangible that you could touch and see and feel versus what you can't, what do you think about that? You know, when a brand can actually tap into both, like Jenna was just describing, the ambiance in Starbucks is an effect of the combination of colors and textures in the space, correct?
Right. I think the silent messages that we get from the world around us, the associations we have to things like colors, are a powerful influence on our actions. And often people don't think enough about them.
So give us some examples of everyday mainstream establishments that really use color to their benefit.
Well, I think that you have to think about color and use of materials together. I think
yes.
That, for example, Starbucks often does use colors that are pretty relaxing inside, colors that aren't very saturated. But they also use a lot of wood grain, you know,
yes.
Unpainted wood. And looking at wood grain is a great stress buster for humans. So, you know, together between the materials and the colors, Starbucks creates a place where people feel relaxed and it encourages them to hang out.
And that's the first time I've heard the idea that wood grain itself actually is a calming element, because that's really cool. I mean, I think everyone feels grounded, and I believe it goes way back to the point of when a tree is a tree and how it's part of the earth, and then it becomes a piece of wood, and then it gets incorporated into our environments in a different kind of way. What's the science behind the idea? Is it a linear thing?
Well, the science that I'm talking about when I mention, you know, wood grain being calming comes out of David Fell's dissertation at the University of British Columbia. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out exactly what it is about the wood grain that's good at cutting our stress levels. But it's a really handy relationship because, you know, sometimes you can't build like windows into a space or, you know, maybe put in an aquarium or something else that might help people relax and calm down a little bit. But generally you can work in some wood grain and, you know, so it's a very handy way for people to help themselves feel.
Yeah, and Doc, it's also comes full circle in the sense that now we're using wood that's hundreds of years old. We're using reclaimed wood a lot. Barn wood is making a huge comeback and is here to stay. What's your thoughts on not just using wood, but aged and antiqued wood?
Humans feel particularly comfortable in a space that has a natural patina, a natural age. It's an aspect of something that those of us in the scientific world called biophilic design. So anytime you can use something that clearly didn't show up yesterday, you give people a psychological boost and they feel more comfortable.
Interesting. I like the way you're talking here. And you're open to the idea of the quantum elements in design, where, like, vibrationally and energetically, that these old pieces harbor some energy from their past. Do you believe in that, or are you a pure scientist in the idea that you need to see it to believe it?
Well, I am a scientist. I have a PhD in psychology, and I'm a fellow of the American Psychological Association. So I put a lot of value in what's been scientifically established. But I also understand that not every study has been done yet, and there's lots of mysteries in the world that we still need to explore.
Good answer. I like that. So basically, you're open to it, is what you're saying.
Sure, sure. I think there's so many things that we don't fully understand that haven't been fully explored yet, and I'm looking forward to seeing the research related to them.
Do you think one day we'll get to that place, you know, where science will meet, you know, metaphysical and understand the quantum elements that are involved in things like designing an establishment or the materials used?
Yeah, I think we will. We're making dramatic progress already towards that end. There are people who are doing research in MRI scanners and things like that to help us get a great understanding of what's literally going on in people's brains as they look at things, as they smell things, as they touch things, etc. So, you know, progress is being made.
That's interesting, because it'll slowly, or when it does happen, quickly make its way into marketing, and just like it has on social media, where it could pick up on algorithms and then feed you, you know, if you post something about a burger, the next minute you're getting an advertisement for, you know, McDonald's, and it's almost like second nature. Speaking of McDonald's, let's talk about the colors they use there.
Right. Well, McDonald's makes savvy use of the colors in their spaces. You know, research has shown that warm colors, make us hungry. So it makes sense that McDonald's includes them, and also the kinds of colors that McDonald's uses. So it's very saturated colors, rev us up energy wise. So, you know, we get hungry, we're all energized. We don't spend too long there. So the colors not only encourage people's appetites, but also help with turning the seats and moving as many people through the restaurant as possible during the course of the day.
And red obviously creates the urgency in that, right?
Right. When we look at red, something's sort of primordial, you might say, happens inside us. You know, it alerts us. You know, it signals that we need to be paying attention to what's going on in the world around us.
Got it. And so, let's see here. Hey, Joe, we're going straight to news on this one. We got to take a break. All right. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Dr. Sally Augustin, and we're going to talk more about this topic. I want to get into this study that says that U.S. Shoppers with their association of color increased brand recognition by as much as 80%, and how brand colors are becoming a huge impact on how consumers shop. This is an interesting topic. We're going to continue our talk with Dr. Sally in just a minute.
It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're picking up where we left off, talking to Dr. Sally Augustin, PhD, and her expertise is working with environmental design, the psychology of color, and how to integrate that into your space. Hey, Doc, thanks for hanging with us.
Glad to be here.
Hey, so we're talking about, you know, corporations using color in not so much a sneaky way, but in a way it's kind of slightly manipulative, wouldn't you say?
I think there are associations that we have to color, mental associations, and organizations utilize those associations when they're designing things like their logos to send the messages about themselves they want to get out there.
Now, does that fall under marketing? You know, if you really think about it, because, you know, if you go way, way, way back, did this exist in the early days of, you know, let's just say Coca-Cola and some of the well-known brands we know and love today? Because they've evolved as well. But when they first started, these big companies, you know, cigarette companies, you know, are infamous, you know, for this. But did they know back, did they have the psychological knowledge that you had and they have today and applied it?
I think companies have always been concerned about using color appropriately since the first person, you know, set up any sort of store, retail, anything, where they had the opportunity to use color. But, you know, over the years, more studies have been done, you know, and so people can now work from a more scientific base than they might have, you know, 75 years ago when maybe they were going more by the seat of their pants.
And then, so like a company like Coca-Cola, who recently did a whole black campaign, do we know, like, you know, do you get reports or do you follow the reports on how that impacts their business, their sales? What are the consumer response to it is?
No, I mean, I don't have an inside track on how, you know, the black campaign influenced, you know, Coca-Cola's sales. But I do know things like, you know, black is is associated with sophistication as well as like strength in people's minds. So I would think that, you know, the black campaign must have done something positive for Coca-Cola.
I agree with you. I use black often in my designs, too. It's such a strong color, and you're right. It is. It can be used classy in a classy way. And you know, there was a stigma, though, for a while. Like, people didn't even consider black as a color. They're like, why would you paint a room black? You know, and in the last 10 years, I'd say it's made a come around in the interior design space, in my world at least, where now it's a really nice, you know, people are still afraid of it. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you have to use it the right way, because a color as dark on black as dark as black on walls can make a space seem really small if it's not lit properly and things like that. So, you know, using black requires, you know, a little more skill than, you know, some other colors.
Yeah, I agree. You had a question?
Yeah, Sally, I have a question for you about like online shopping, because you're not actually physically walking through a store. It's an online presence. Does like a website, you know, design or the colors that, you know, certain places like Macy's or Nordstrom's or, you know, Amazon have anything to do with how much you're buying or not buying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're getting the same signals from colors, you know, whether you're looking at them, you know, painted on a wall or in a piece of mail that you get or online. And, you know, the colors can be used, as I was saying, to send the messages you want. Like blue is a color that brings things like, you know, competent thoughts of things like competence and trustworthiness to our mind. So, it, you know, it makes sense for, you know, people approaching us, you know, however they are, who are in certain kinds of businesses, like banking, for example, to use blue.
Like Chase Bank, you see those, blue is almost in every bank color.
Bank
America. Or remember Big Blue, IBM?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially when IBM was getting going and picked blue, you know, people were, you know, real nervous about automation and technology and computers and things like that. So blue was a good color to, you know, send signals about, you know, trust and things like that that were, you know, good for IBM and made the consumers feel good too.
You know, does this apply to residential homes and design as well? We have some people texting in and asking questions. One texter wants to know, what would be a good color for the main door of a house? And what about feng shui? Does that play into this?
Well, I'll talk about feng shui first. Feng shui is a folk tradition based on generations and generations, thousands of years of observing people as they go about their daily lives. And sometimes I'll agree with a feng shui practitioner, but what I talk about is based in Western science.
Right.
In terms of a color for a front door, I think you should pick a color for a front door that appeals to you personally, sends some sort of signal that you would like to get out there. Just to pick an example, green signals, and things like environmental responsibility and, an attachment to nature and things like that. Maybe green would be a good color for you.
But I have
a warning about use of yellow, because a lot of people don't like the color yellow. I love yellow, but a lot of people don't. And so if you're thinking you're going to be putting your car your house on the market sometime soon, don't paint your front door yellow. You'll just be repainting it again soon. So,
What's your thoughts on it standing out completely different, Doc, from the rest of the house?
I think if you want to signal an openness to visitors and things like that, having a front door that makes a great contrast with the rest of your house can be a really good thing. Also, just a sort of related point, using a color that's really, really different can be great for people who have what's known in the psych biz as a high need for uniqueness. You could paint your door something like a violet color and signal to everybody who passes by that you like what's different. So, that can be a big plus.
So it's similar to the way we dress. It's an expression of who we are in so many ways.
Exactly.
And which is interesting, which we just got a text from someone from the 603. Now I know why we wear cell blue scrubs in my work as a nurse.
The whole idea of scrubs is actually interesting because you have after effects from looking at different colors, and wearing green scrubs, if you're like doing surgical type things, can actually help people's eyes relax if they've been looking at something that's bloody.
Sure. Now, if there's any one color you would advise everybody to stay away from, is there one color you're like, this color is bad mojo, like don't go near it?
If you have a positive association to a color because of something in your life, you should personally use it. But generally, if you want other people to feel good about something, you probably want to avoid using the color yellow, even if you like it. And the kind of yellow you really, really, really want to avoid is that kind of yellow-green that's like the color of bile. We've all had...
I was going to say pukey green.
Exactly. I mean, we've all had that experience.
That is an ugly color.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm like instantly grossed out.
So don't use that. Not if you want other people to look at what you've done and feel it all good.
Well, Jenna has an interesting... Because your aunt loved yellow, right?
My cousin-in-law.
Or cousin.
I swear, I see her and she's in yellow all the time.
Yeah.
Her hair is, like that, like really nice bright blonde. Her bridesmaids' dresses were all yellow. When her two kids were born, I'm pretty sure they came home in yellow blankets.
Hmm.
So it's funny because she's so like positive and happy and radiant that like I associate like yellow positively with her. So like I think it was, I don't know, a bridal shower or something, we all wore yellow because she always wears yellow,
right?
In like a good way. But now it's like I have the shirt hanging in my closet and my dad's like, why in God's name do you have a yellow shirt?
That's the association people often have to yellow. But those of us who like yellow, like I like yellow, like your cousin-in-law, we are much more attached to it as our favorite color than other people are to their favorite colors. Like those of us who like yellow, we can't get enough. That's not true of everybody.
Well, that's fascinating stuff, Doc. Thank you so much. Dr. Sally Augustine is joining us on the phone. Where can people find more information about you, Doc?
They can go to my website, which is designwithscience.com.
Designwithscience.com. Thanks, Docs, and have a great Sunday.
Oh, same to you. Have a good day.
You got it. Hey, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with color, but in a different way. We're going to be talking to the folks from Paint Zen and about how to make some trendy men room colors. And their service is pretty awesome. They're like the Uber of painting. And we'll learn all about that in a little bit. And by the way, we want to know what colors you guys hate. 312-981-7200. What color will you absolutely never put on a wall, never put on your body, never put on your feet, anything? We want to know what irks you about color, and we'll get into it a little bit with our folks from Paint Zen. We'll be right back.